Blog Talk Radio.
Sister Soldier, are you a racist?
You can't call me or any black person any place in the world a racist. We don't have the power to do to white people what white people have done to us. And even if we did, we don't have that low-down, dirty nature.
So do you believe there are any good white people?
If there are, I haven't met them. Where are they?
Good evening, America. This is your president. Please listen carefully to the announcement I'm about to make. After careful consideration and research, Vice President Duke, Congress, and myself have concluded that black people have not advanced technologically. Their educational testing scores are on a rapid decline. The vast majority of them are on welfare and producing babies at a faster rate than they can support them, and we will not carry them anymore. We are left with no other choice but to put slavery back into effect. All blacks will report to the designated camps in their area to receive further orders. The only blacks excused will be those serving in the United States military and the police. Any blacks who do not cooperate will be terminated immediately. I repeat, slavery is back in effect.
We are at war! That's what I told you! I know you heard what the president said, and if the nigga don't move, then he's dead. It's time for us to take the stand. Woman to woman and man to man. Blood rushes through your veins, you feel the fear. Who'd have thought that it could happen here? In the land of the free, home of the brave. The year's 95, you're a slave.
Yeah.
some requests for it. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. Can't you see it? I know you can feel it. It's all in the air. I can't stand the pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama's got me so upset, and Governor Wallace has made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. Hound dogs on my trail. School children sitting in jail. Black cat crossed my path. I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on the land of mine. We all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there. I've even stopped believing in prayer. Don't tell me, I'll tell you. Me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know they keep on saying, go slow. That's just the trouble.
Too slow.
Washing the windows.
Too slow.
Picking the cotton.
Too slow.
We're just plain rotten.
Too slow.
We're too damn lazy.
Too slow.
I think it's crazy.
Too slow.
Try to say it's a communist plot. All I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people, and me. You lied to me all these years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine just like a lady, and you'd stop calling me Sister Sadie. My country is full of lies. We are all gonna die and die like flies. I don't trust nobody anymore. They keep on saying go slow. That's just the trouble. Desegregation. Mass participation. Unification.
Everyone, welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Thursday night. This is Antoinette, and tonight we have ladies that are on the ground in Mississippi to discuss House Bill 1020 and what's going on there. And I'm going to bring in the first caller, and please forgive me because I'm going to tear up your name. So I'm going to ask you to say your name for me. Hello, good evening. How are you? Hello?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I thought you were talking to me, but then I heard another voice, so I got quiet.
No, it was mine. And we echoed.
Okay, this is Ea, Eafalola Omobola in Texas. Shoot, in Jackson, Mississippi.
Coming on. And I have another 601-331. Is that the other lady? And I want to tear her name up, so I'm going to ask her to say hers. Is that the other lady?
I'm not sure. Rukia, is that you?
Press the number one if that's you.
Okay. She is in a meeting. It's going to be a little late, so I wouldn't think that that would be her. I don't know who that is.
Okay, well, they just put their hand. No, that was your hand. Okay. No, they didn't put their hand up. No, yes, they did. Okay, I'm looking at the board wrong. Okay.
Okay. Nefert, is that you?
Yes, I am Nefert.
Oh, okay.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I am well. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm happy to have you ladies with us to let us know exactly what's going on in Mississippi. We have been talking about this House Bill 1020, which is very disturbing. And if it's disturbing for us to hear it and we don't live in Mississippi, I know it has to be more disturbing to you that live there.
Yes.
If you want to hear how disturbing it is. So that song
yes.
came out when I was 9 years old. I'm now 67, and this is where we are.
Yes,
and
still there.
It is interesting to me because I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Grew up in the late 50s, early 60s. My parents were members of CORE, SNCC, SCLC, NAACP. When I say that to people, they say I'm lying because those organizations didn't get along. At that time, they did because they were facing similar situations that we are facing here now. And they got along and they worked. And they worked to create, help to elect the first black mayor of the country, one of the first black mayors, Carl Stokes. That's the environment I came from, and going through all the crap and all the pushback and the negativity, even from those of us who had the same color and should have had the same understanding, had kind of gotten whitewashed in the whole shebang. But here we are now, and what I want to do is tweet a little bit. There is an article that came out recently written by a dear comrade here, Makani Shimba, who writes about what is happening, and I want to share a little bit about this article with folks. It came out in The Nation. It's called Racism and Discrimination, Apartheid American Style. This city's water crisis has become a classic David and Goliath story, a predominantly black city led by its mayor, Sokwe Antar Lumumba, facing off with the good old boy, Governor Tate Reeves, and his predominantly white state legislature, controlled by a Republican supermajority made possible by more than a century of violent voter suppression and racist gerrymandering. Things came to a head last summer when more than 150,000 people went without water for weeks. Jackson was all over the news, the talk show circuit, even the late night television. Although Mayor Lumumba was winning the media, Governor Reeves had firm control of the purse strings, which he manipulated artfully to prevent the city from gaining access to any significant federal funding. That changed in the last days of the Democratic-controlled Congress when the city secured $600 million in direct funding for infrastructure repairs. No state gatekeeping, we thought we had won. Community groups worked with the city to start planning for resident engagement. People's assemblies were being organized to dream our, quote, just and equitable 21st century water system, end quote, for which we fought so hard. We were walking toward the light we saw at the end of the tunnel, to paraphrase Robert Lowell, only to find an oncoming train. The state was ferociously swift in its response, putting forward a slew of bills designed to undermine Jackson's autonomy, economy, and ability to elect its own representatives. Undoubtedly, the most controversial of these bills is HB 1020. If passed, The bill would essentially divide the city into two separate and unequal parts. Jackson's whitest neighborhoods, its capital area, downtown, and most affluent business districts would comprise the proposed Capital Corridor Improvement District, CCID. The CCID was originally created in 2017 as a vehicle for funding landscaping and capital improvements in a small area around the state capital. The proposed expanded CCID would extend the authority of the Capitol Police over much of Jackson without any accountability to its residents or elected leaders, create a separate governance structure made up of judges appointed by white public officials, take 18.75% of sales tax revenues that would have previously gone to the city, and strip Hinds County elected judges, all of whom are black, of authority in the CCID, diverting civil and criminal cases to this new appointed bench. I'm almost done. The bill's author...
Yes, sir. Take your time.
Huh?
No, I was saying take your time.
State Representative Trey Lamar, Republican from Senatobia, has said his bill's intent is to make the city, capital city, safer. Residents ask, safer for who? Certainly not for people like Jalen Lewis, a 25-year-old black father of two who was shot and killed by Capitol Police last September. An eyewitness to the shooting recalls they had no idea that the car behind them was law enforcement and that Lewis felt so concerned that he called a friend to let them know he was being followed just before he was shot. Lewis was the third victim of a shooting by Capitol Police in a six-week period, and according to the department, the first fatality. The case has been, quote, under investigation, end of quote, for more than 3 months, and the Lewis family still has no answers. Unlike the Jackson Police Department, the Capitol Police Force has no oversight board or standard requirements around transparency of reporting regarding officer-involved shootings. Not that the Jackson Police Department doesn't have its problems. It is, however, at least theoretically accountable to city residents. The Capitol Police are not. HB 1020 will expand Capitol Police jurisdiction in the city, a move that residents fear will only increase state violence and terror in our communities. The other proposed measures, though arguably less transparently segregationist, chip away city power and authority in significant ways. SB 2343 gives the Capitol Police, quote, jurisdiction relative to the enforcement of all laws of the state of Mississippi within the boundaries of the city of Jackson, Mississippi, end of quote. It also strips the city of jurisdiction over event permits in the CCID, including permits for protests near the Capitol. HB 370, recently defeated in the House, would have made it easier for mayors to be recalled. A Senate version of the bill is still active, SB 2020-99, that doesn't single out municipal lawmakers. HB 1168 would restrict Jackson's use of its 1% sales tax revenues to water infrastructure repair. Currently, the city can use this voter-approved tax for general infrastructure. SB 2735 restricts mayors' use of their veto power, directly targeting Mayor Lumumba after a controversial veto of a city council vote not to approve a contract. SB 2338 prohibits Jackson from implementing a water billing system that considers customer property value. SB 2889 would take control of the federal dollars Jackson won and place those funds under a regional authority controlled by, you guessed it, the state. The scheme for how the board will be appointed is quite specific. The governor gets three appointments, the lieutenant governor gets two appointments, and the mayor gets, quote-unquote, 4 appointments, which he would be required to share with 2 neighboring cities. Proponents of the bill argue that it is a fair deal because the city has the biggest block of votes. 2 Republicans in lockstep with 5 of 9 votes, and the other 4 Jackson votes are to be divided among 3 cities. Jackson interim water manager Ted Hennepin calls it a, quote, a pure grab for money, close quote. On February 7th, Jackson residents, including the mayor, packed the State House to watch the representatives debate HB 1020. Members of the Black Caucus formed the only opposition to the deal, peppering Lamar with hours of questions and critiques that laid bare the legislation's intent and impact. Jackson's violent crime rate has actually decreased since 2020. In areas where community intervention programs like Credible Messenger, the drop was significant. Yet Lamar and his colleagues weren't interested in data or even facts, much less the truth. When Black House members questioned Lamar with specific crime data that may have informed the bill, the racial demographics of the proposed CCID, or why he was proposing a new governance structure instead of increasing public safety funding for Jackson, Lamar repeatedly responded that he didn't have much data or information about the area. All he knew was that there was a real problem, and he even incorrectly cited Jackson as having the highest crime rate in the nation. Perhaps more telling was that he had not consulted 1 member of the Black Hinds County delegation in the drafting of the bill. Watching Lamar certainly calmly deflect more than 3 hours of heated debate from the Black Caucus was a glimpse into what some are calling the new face of Jim Crow. His soft-spoken, persistent denials of racism and closing remarks praising the young Black child in attendance, the great grandson of the late legislator Leonard Morris, as the future of Mississippi, was a departure from the traditional right-wing vitriol. However, the impact is just as harmful. A representative, Solomon Osborne, Democrat Greenwood, told his colleagues in a passionate speech on the floor, this is just a Klan meeting with suits. Not many here are surprised by the legislators' actions. It is, after all, the same body that voted 101 years ago, to send Black people back to Africa. Still, residents aren't giving up. A JXNU undivided, a big tent coalition of advocacy groups, elect clergy and more, are working together to stop the bills and hold on to city sovereignty and funding. Said one organizer, there is so much at stake, but we are the people of Fannie Lou Hamer. We are the people who have been making things possible under impossible circumstances for a very long time. But Tani Timber is an organizer, writer, and strategist based in Jackson, Mississippi. She currently serves as the chief strategist at Higher Ground Change Strategies. Thank you for giving me the time to read that article.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for reading it to us. I see that the last couple of days y'all had another rally.
We've had a number of, there was a rally that was dealing with the water. We have had, and Rekia, when she gets on, will be able to talk about that more. One of the strategic things that we have been able to to hold on to is our replication of the People's Assembly, and we have done that in many shapes, forms, and fashions holding meetings where people from the community can get together and talk about issues that they have at hand and to share strategies and goals and directions. Those are just useful as well.
Yes, and Rekia, your line is open. And also I want y'all to know that Dry Bones is with us. Dry Bones, your line is also open.
Are you calling Rekia, the person who called in right after I did?
Yes.
Okay, no, that's Nefer, Leslie Thompson. Rekia is probably still in her meeting and probably has not gotten on yet.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, well, she had her hand up. So after you said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do I have something up? I didn't realize
I had something up. Yeah, you pressed one, so that put your hand up.
Oh, I see.
And I.
Oh, okay. Well, I did not necessarily have it. I didn't know I had it up. But I am Leslie Thompson the first for Rasha Unk. And I was born here in Jackson, Mississippi. My parents were, community-minded people. They were in the NAACP. They took people to vote. They took people to rallies. They went to rallies. They, you know, the whole nine, you know. And my mother was one of the main organizers for the Head Start program here in Hinds County. And she worked that until probably, until she was 75 years old, I'll put it like that. I think it was about 30-something years. Yeah, and she just transitioned a year ago. But, I grew up in the same zip code from birth till 18 years old. What else? Just been here all my life and just haven't seen much change in the 65 years that I have been living here. Haven't seen a whole lot of change. Bit by bit, I believe we will get there. I have not stopped looking for change and trying to make change, and I'm always running into people. I'm just fortunate to run into people who want the same thing for my home town and city and state as I do. And I just feel very fortunate to be on this call even tonight listening to people who are very concerned about us. And I just feel like we really have a chance. I really do. After all these years, we have a chance to move the needle.
Yes, well, that's what we want to do.
For our children.
Yes.
Yeah. For our progeny. And I won't give up.
Well,
and
I'm glad
you
won't.
Just tell me what to do. Tell me what you want me to do because I'm here. I'm up for it and I'm ready.
Yes, well, we're here for y'all. We're here for y'all. Let me ask you this. Now, do you think that this bill will make it worse for y'all or the same?
Will this bill make it worse for y'all?
I mean, to me, when I looked at it and I first seen it, I just thought that this would just be horrible for y'all. But are y'all seeing the same thing? Is this going to make it worse for y'all? I know that's a joke.
The bill itself is, we do know this, is intended to make it worse for us. But what do I see it as? Just a challenge for us. I mean, if we don't get together and do something, it can be whatever they want it to be. But it's about what we want and what we're going to do. And I think it's about our intentions right now, not theirs. I don't care what they do. I intend to make a change, and I intend to see the change before I leave here. Now, I know it won't just change completely, and I don't know when I'm leaving here, but, you know, I really do intend to see a change. And like I say, I think it's us who's going to make the difference. I'm not even thinking about what they're doing, really. I'm just going to make sure I let everybody know what we need to do. I try to bring the attention to this to as many people as I can. I talk about it to the ones who want to hear it, you know. And that's a challenge in itself because, you don't know who wants to hear it. You don't know who wants. You don't know what they're thinking about. They probably think, oh, they're just doing the same old thing they've always done, and we're just not going to never, you know, do no better because they're doing it. It's not about what they do.
Right.
It's about what we're going to do.
And
yes,
it
does
take
right.
a whole lot of people to change anything. I mean, it just takes the one and want to make the change happen. And it doesn't matter how many it is. And I think we can do it.
Yes, I think so too. And we're here to help, to add as much
Thank
support
you
as we can.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And one of the things that I think that is important is that we need to understand that people's assemblies are crucially important because we
yes.
get people to come together to understand what's happening, how it's affecting us as individuals and as a community, and what we can individually and collectively do to hold our own in that light. And the assemblies have been meeting more frequently and have been in larger attendance than I have seen in the past, and I've been here again for about, I guess I keep changing it, but about 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm going to bring Brother Kwame in. He's here with us.
Oh, okay.
Brother okay. Kwame.
Good evening,
Brother
Sister
Kwame.
Antoinette.
Good
yeah.
evening.
And good evening to the panel tonight.
Good evening, brother.
And it's great that we're coming together and voicing and seeing how we can help a community, because this is not all about, it's about Jackson, but Jackson is like the launching pad for what Yokeway
yes.
calls plantation politics.
Yes.
And this is what they're playing, because we have to understand that, the Civil War may have stopped the bloodshed, but it's still going on. They're doing it through laws and through now what we call technology. And I think I just heard the sister speak about the Jim Crow. And what they're doing now is they're using the new Jim Code. But they're also using something that's most important to every human being on the planet, and that's water. And what
yeah.
they're doing, like they did in Flint, and what they're doing in other places, that these corporations are spilling into the waterways, to the Great Lakes, to the rivers, and even now into the earth. And the part that they're doing is toxifying the environment. Because we have what I know in Chicago, that they always would put all of the residents where we were most populated, they would put the dumps and they would put the sewage and the things that were toxic to other people's environment, but they would always put it into our environment. And so what we're seeing now is that we have a black community, and you have a brother whose father, Chokwe Lumumba Jr., whose father was about the freedom of our people in getting what the Republic of New Africa was questioning and asking the government to give us as far as reparation. It's give us back, give us Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina. We wanted those five states because we were the ones who created the wealth of these five states. And the thing of it is that we had the opportunity to build what we see going on there in Jackson, because you have a city that is predominantly us. And then you have us now not being governed by basically, the population is black, but the political party is white. We've changed that. And now what is happening is that change is not to their liking. And as they said in the movie Malcolm X, when Malcolm pointed his finger and told the men to march and go on, that's too much power for one man to have. And that's the frightening thing that they have with what's going on there and other cities that we have a political system that's challenging their system. And it's what he says, it's a plantation. They want that plantation, because the thing that we have to understand is that, yes, we have Emancipation Proclamation, when you look at the law dictionary and defining the part of what emancipate means, it means just to transfer ownership. When you put the 13th Amendment into the Constitution or put it into law and saying that the 13th Amendment, neither slavery nor indentured servitude, except if you're duly convicted of a crime. When you make the laws of what is a crime, then you reinvent a new form of peonage or slavery, the prison industrial complex. Now we're created into the debt slavery process. So we're having a continuation, and even to the point it's going to be challenging, because what they're challenging is Brown versus the Board of Education, separate but equal. And this is what they're attempting to do, is to re-put that back into place, to be separate but equal, because basically there's been a white flight out of Jackson and leaving it because of our population being higher than theirs and they're not in control. This is the challenge that we're having in them attempting to keep the South alive.
Ashe.
Yeah.
Ashe that.
Yes. Drybone. Yes, Drybone.
Yeah, I ain't going to stay long, but I'm loving this. Sisters, I appreciate y'all joining our network tonight. It's a beautiful thing. Brother Kwame, always. I'm going to have a show for y'all also with Reverend Pickney, who's out of Michigan, in Benton Harbor, Michigan. He actually fought about that water, ended up going to jail, got out of jail, and still fighting. And question I'm going to ask y'all both from Mississippi, because I've been high profile for quite a minute. Benny Thompson, and I'm going to mention Benny Thompson in Glendora, Mississippi. Now, I'm 60 years old. I do a lot of historical research on all these states. And I noticed that Glendora was enslaved. People of Mississippi was enslaved until 1960s. Benny Thompson, who is a Democrat, who was over the House for this January 6th, whatever y'all want to call it, insurrection. He was a young politician when they had y'all enslaved in 1960s. Could y'all give us some clarity of how y'all could overlook that in so many ways, where it's almost unbelievable that he's able to still be a politician in Mississippi after what I read and seen, and Dick Gregory has did documentations on this. How do y'all explain being in slavery into the 60s? And then I'm going to ask one more question, and I want to hear from both of y'all, but I'm very confused on that. But can y'all give me some idea why is that, how that could happen?
I guess I'm the y'all you talking about.
Yeah, because you're from Mississippi. Thank you, sister, for joining
us
tonight.
Yeah, so, okay,
that.
So you go.
Explain that to the, I'm in Miami.
Well, let me over in the
I'd like to hear that. Yes.
All I can say is that Mississippi got down. And that's it.
That's
the goddamn of the Mississippi. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. He was a young politician. He was at that time. He was in college at that time, but he became the mayor of his hometown of Bolton, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Right after he, you know, I guess he was right out of college or whatever. But he did that, and then he became the Hinds County supervisor, and then he went to, I don't know if he went to the Mississippi legislature. I can't hardly remember
That was his district when they finally did the documentary, The Cotton Picking Truth About Mississippi, and that was his district where they were being held enslaved.
Oh, yeah.
1967. I'm only 5 years old. Dr. King runs around the country. How do y'all explain that? And I don't even ask about that because that's a serious history. And also Dion leaving y'all area in Jackson, because I'm into sports as well. He came here to Florida for the Florida Classic, and they brought beautiful people. I enjoyed that. Mississippi, y'all showed out, beautiful crowd. I'm still confused on that situation as well, because that brought a lot of light to y'all state from the football revenue and so forth. But then we find out that Mississippi State is embezzling the money. I mean, how do y'all explain these things to the people when we trying to help y'all and y'all only politicians seem to be corrupted?
Could I? Well, I mean, I don't know politics to be anything
else. Not all
of our
politics.
Thank y'all. I love you. That's
somebody
right.
Somebody talk
of
to me, because I don't know politics to be anything other than corrupt. I just really don't. I'm sorry.
That's right. There you go. I love you for saying that.
Y'all talk to me and tell me something. I don't know anything else.
Yeah, I love
you. I think Brother Ray was trying to say something.
Go ahead. I'm just listening.
Wait a minute, Brother Ray. Wait a minute, Drive On. Brother Ray, were you trying to say something?
That was me.
I thought I heard him.
That's Brother Kwame. Brother Kwame, go ahead. I hear you.
Sorry, Brother Kwame.
I'm loving this. It's just a beautiful show, because this is a beautiful thing that we're talking about
right
today. Because Mississippi don't get no play, and they're getting a lot of heat. I love y'all for staying strong. Thank y'all, sisters. Go ahead.
And you know, you asked the question about, you know, the whole thing about what has gone on in Mississippi and slavery was ended in 1960. That was incorrect, because the Emancipation Proclamation was December 1865.
I'm only going by what Dick Gregory did in his documentary. Dick Gregory said it. Dick Gregory did a documentary in Glendora, Mississippi, and they was enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
And now.
Yeah,
because Georgia had it too.
What I'm sharing.
Go ahead.
Okay, and I was saying is because December 1865, and then you seen that there were some people still in captivity, what was called sharecropping, and that was their form of slavery. But the 13th Amendment was not ratified. They brought it to the floor in 1995. They did not complete until they made the movie Lincoln in 2013, 148 years before the state of Mississippi ratified the 13th Amendment into their constitution. So in essence is that slavery still existed in that state until they ratified and made it part of the Constitution by law.
I say. That's what you said, and that's what's true.
And so Mississippi wants to continue with still holding people enslaved by this, because by this, y'all will be losing seats and everything, judges and everything, and they'll turn them over to how they want them.
Definitely.
Because I see if elected, then you will have no separate judicial system with appointed judges.
Yeah,
and your funding.
Thing. Right. Could I ask about that? Their funding. Let me ask you two sisters, because this is a big thing y'all talking about with the water, and I'm glad y'all bringing this up, because the water is very important. I had a serious thing, I know, because they were asking for water even at the football game for the Classic. Let me ask y'all this, and I will regress again. Is the predominant demographic of the voters, are they Democratic, that's black, or are they Republicans? What's the makeup of Democrats and Republicans in the black community?
Yeah, do you have that statistic?
I don't have the demographic. I don't have the statistics, but I can tell you they're primarily black.
Democrats.
Yeah, but Dry Bones, it's the Republicans that are coming in and doing this for them.
That's my point. I'm trying to figure out now. Benny Thompson is a Democrat. I'm trying to get some we're just trying to get the makeup of their psyche. If the sisters say that the blacks are Democrats, then...
Right. The other part, though, that we need to understand is that the Republicans are making a massive move in making sure that they come and strengthen the stronghold they once had. Massive move attacking the mayor. Right. They're attacking, you know, folks all over the place. So we have to counter-strategize.
So the blacks there ain't getting no help then from the Democratic Party. That's what you're basically saying.
I'm saying, say that again?
Right. If there are no black Republicans, mainly every black you're trying to, let's just say 60%.
Let's say 60%. Darbo, she's trying to say something. She was trying to say something.
Okay, right. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Hello? I'm talking to you directly. Is the makeup in your eyes over 65% are black Democrats basically in these areas, over 65?
I would say yes. By feel, but I don't have the statistics.
Okay, let's go with your feel because y'all live there. Because we only come, we out of state. We just want to get y'all perspective. If that's the case,
right.
Then the Democratic, being that y'all, where's the Democratic money? You say the Democratic money is coming towards y'all. And what respects do you see this money going to, and who's over this money?
Okay, so now that didn't come out of my mouth. So whoever, unless I read it from that article.
Right.
The thing, though,
the
that I want to say before we move on is that we have to understand guidance versus mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And what I am saying is that the other thing that we need to understand is that the Republican presence here in the city and the state is coming out very much stronger than it was previously. It is determined to make sure that it maintains control over what it has here. And so I'm wondering, I hear what you are saying, and I know that a lot of people have been pushed away from even considering looking to go vote and standing a presence within that arena. What we need to do is either reawaken our folks to understand the importance of claiming our due and what we need have come to us, or do like some other folks are doing in other parts of the country and the world, and that's creating a third party that enables us to be able to move forward in a more conscious
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could I answer to that what Dry Bones was asking? That you can look
yeah.
on Mississippi government. What it's showing is that Mississippi has a Republican trifecta, and the Republican trifecta is that the Republican Party controls the office of the governor, secretary of state, attorney general, both chambers of the Senate legislature. As of March 2nd, 2023, there are 22 Republican trifectas and only 17 Democratic trifectas, and the 11 divided governments where neither party holds a trifecta control. On March 2nd, there are 24 Republican trifecta and 20 Democrats and divided. And what they're doing is they're telling you that the Republicans is running the government in the state
yes.
of Mississippi. They run the
yes.
three houses just like the three houses that run the government of the United States.
They are Republicans?
Yes, they are.
So hold on. Let me get this straight now. I just want to make sure before we go further, because Detroit, Michigan, is Democratic. They're doing the same thing to Detroit, and they're black. So I think y'all should stop worrying about who's who. And the sister, you had it right. Let's create a third party, because if blacks become independent overnight, it was the shift that we over with in a blink of an eye. Because it's the same scenario happening to y'all. Already happened in Detroit, Michigan, and none of y'all was able to, nobody's able to stop it because, again, y'all keep saying it's a Democrat, Republican, all of Detroit
right.
blacks, most black people vote Democrat. So how are you able to justify either way? Because black folks should be getting the president, Obama should have helped y'all, if that's the case.
Right.
Obama
right.
was a Democrat.
Right.
So it's not making sense what y'all saying about this poverty stuff. So I'm saying, sister, you're absolutely right. I'd love to have you on our program on Sunday because we need a different party. We can't keep talking about the same stuff over and over, Democrat and Republican, in order to think that's going to help somebody. That ain't going to help nobody because I just told you, Benny Thomas, he's been there forever. Forever, and Glendora has been Glendora is still in slavery.
The Bible
family in Glendora, Mississippi, is still enslaving people, and y'all sitting here pretending that ain't an issue. That's a big issue. That's a big issue today.
Wait, ain't no y'all. Let's get that straight.
I'm glad you said that. Thank you, sister. That's why I'm gonna regress, but Sunday. I'm going to invite y'all to the Helios. I'm going to get Reverend Pinckney, who actually went to jail and fought the government and won against Flint, Michigan, and Benton Harbor, Michigan. And it takes a lot of people, man. You know what he said, sister, before I let y'all go? He was denouncing the NAACP because you know why? They did not put the lawyers. See, if the NAACP was real and you black folks who are all Democrats there, where's the NAACP lawyers? Where's Crump at? Where's Crump?
Right.
Ask for Crump if y'all believe in all this. I'm going to digress and wait for Sunday.
NAACP.
I love y'all. Thank y'all.
Love you, too.
Well, thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
NAACP went out with colored people.
That's right. That's what the C stands for.
Right.
Right, they went out with colored people. We ain't colored no more. So they're not in void. They just keep the lettering because you know the color of the folks who started it. You know they wasn't melanated. So, but anyway, that was
And the president of the NAACP is from Jackson.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to tutor his children just before he got that job.
Obama was you know, from Chicago. And he was the president of the United States.
Right.
They
and
still
what,
killing
and what did he do for us lately or any time at all?
Well, the party that what we have to look at is what we're saying, that there needs to be another party or in the way in which we do is to say who would be the best candidate in each one of the parties that is looking at helping the people. But either party is like the old saying goes, you know, you choose the better of the lesser of two evils. If they both evil, why should I take some evil and I can do good on my own?
Thank you.
Right. Exactly.
Appreciate you.
Right. And I'm looking at this, you know, the whole thing that one time Mississippi was Democrat and they took it back over and made it Republican. But what they're doing is that they're pitting, you know, one against the other, because basically when you look at history, the Republicans, you know, Lincoln's party, When after they assassinated and what do they call that, the 1871, I'm trying to remember, it was about Reconstruction. And what they did when they had the election, the Democrats wanted to go and take the presidency, the electoral vote. So they asked the Republicans, you know, look, if you give us the electoral votes, we'll give you back the South. So they could stay in that position. And that's where they switched at, you know, and this has been going on ever since, is that they're both parties choosing how they want to use us.
Right.
How do they want to use us?
You know,
because what I always say, Washington, the D.C. stands for the Department of Corrections.
Okay.
And the corporations is not no more the we the people. Because when they wrote that and said we the people, it did not mean, it meant white Anglo-Saxon British and British Europeans. It did not consider what we were. We were chattel. We were not even considered human. So and we are looking at all of this, and this is why we have to look at why I keep bringing up the 13th Amendment. If you took that part of convicted of a crime out of there, convicted of a crime, if you took that out of that 13th Amendment, you free the people, because it says neither slavery nor indentured servitude except do convicted of a crime in the United States or its Commonwealth. You take that part out, saying that the convictions, because if you're convicted, you just committed a crime. But you're not to be a slave or indentured servant. And so
right.
This is how they work that law to where you have one of the two biggest plantation industrial prisons is Parchment.
Mm-hmm.
The only one bigger than that one is Angola. And y'all
mm-hmm.
next to each other.
Right.
I hear you. I see.
You know, and we've got
to remember that we came here at this time to do just this. We were born
right.
this time to do just this.
What did they call us?
Huh?
What do they call the people born from 46 to 64?
Generation. Oh,
baby boomers.
No, the baby boomers.
Baby boomers.
Oh,
yeah,
baby boomers. We're the explosion
for Generation X. We're explosion for them because this is what we have done. We are exploding the consciousness because right now all of us is in the next 20, not even, maybe 20 years is the most part of it. Is because we're becoming the ancestors that our grandparents were doing when we were young.
Right. Right.
When they, you know, can go
right.
back.
And we are understanding that, which means that it's our purpose and our understanding and our responsibility to be that which we wish to see, so that when we go to the other side, we can help it move along as opposed to encouraging it to occur.
Right, because the sister that says she was 65 and her mother was doing that up until she was 75. Guarantee
mm-hmm.
her grandmother, your mother's grandmother, was born in slavery.
Right.
See, that's just four right. generations. That's just two generations.
My mother's grandmother told us the story of she didn't tell us, but it was passed down to me, that they were standing in the field when she was 12 years old, and everybody was wondering what was going on because they were told that they didn't have to work anymore.
Mm.
I was told that story all my life. My great-grandmother's mother, and I knew my great-grandmother, she died when I was 9, so she told us the story that her mother they sit in the field all day because they were not supposed to be working. That's all they told them. They didn't tell them that they were free. They didn't say you all can go, you know, you can leave. They just said, y'all can't work no more. Don't work today. Just, you know, but they couldn't go anywhere. They just stood there. They didn't
right.
know what to do. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So,
and you're living proof to this because you.
I am.
It
I heard it from. I heard it from
right.
the horse's mouth, as they say.
Right, but how many more generations do we have that can say what we're saying? I can say that my
we're probably the last generation. Yeah.
Right, and my great grandmother came to the Cullet Hospital. I was born in a Cullet Hospital, first child in my family to be born in a hospital, and my great grandmother came, and her mother was still alive when I was born.
This your great grandmother?
My great grandmother's mother.
Really?
My grandmother and my mother was lived in the they all lived in the same house.
So that's great, great, great,
my
great
great grandmother.
was okay. So you got a chance to see her?
No, I didn't get a chance because I was born. But in the part, I
but think she was still alive.
Right, she was 100.
Okay,
that's right.
Wow. That's wonderful that you all shared breath on the earth together. Your great great grandmother.
Right, because
that
Mama was born in 1894. She died in 1965.
Mm-hmm. Shoot, I was living then too.
Yeah,
that's about
the
time
mother was
that
there.
I,
that was the
part
situation
in
Ohio.
Great, great
grandmother.
That's wonderful.
Yep. Yes, can you tell me what is the fifth position that they will be added to the four current judges that they have?
Oh, I'm not versed on that. The first, are you? I read about it. I'm not familiar with it. I'll find out and I'll get back to you. In a day or two.
Rakeel would know that.
Okay.
Probably, I'm pretty sure.
But Antoinette, that's an excellent question.
Yeah.
And the part of it is that we have to look at there's the Mississippi Supreme Court, and these are the ones that takes the what comes from the municipal courts and the circuit courts, and it goes to the state Supreme Court, and if we don't have the people in place, they can send it back down to the state and over that it doesn't go any further. And the part of that is this is why Trump was appointing all of these federal judges to the bench, because when you control, see, the thing that happens with a federal judge is just like the federal Supreme Court. They appoint it for life. And if your party appoints them, then they have leeway in the things that they want to make into law.
Wow.
And
that's where, right, because we can elect the governor every 4 years. We elect governor, state's attorney, attorney general. You elect them 4 years, but appointed judges to the Supreme Court is there for life.
Okay, that has slipped my mind.
Woo. That's true. I mean, it's not like we did not know that, but it's just so much going on, and it's so much to deal with, and so much to think about when it comes to politics and when it comes to the way the government is run. It is just so, it's foreign to really who we are. It's really foreign to who we are.
But I remember in high school taking government. You had to take government.
Yeah, when I was in high school.
Branches of government when you were, and they took it out because they didn't want our next generations to know, even when they used to have, what was it, like Sesame Street, Junction, what's your function? And they talk about the bills and the government and the different.
Oh, that's how I learned it. I learned it better from that.
That's what I'm sharing. They don't do that.
Yes.
They don't give that information.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, because the whole thing is so corrupt. I mean, the whole Constitution itself is, I mean, they have changed it. They have fixed it. They have. And nobody questions it. You know what I'm saying? Nobody really questions it.
If you tear your clothes, what was the word they used to? Where you had to mend your patch or put a patch? You mended the.
Come
the,
on now, speak it.
Right.
Amendment.
What you're doing is that they know that this is torn and it's being ripped apart. So they put an amendment to put a patch over this one. They call it the 13th. Then they put another amendment that calls it the 14th.
Appreciate you.
They're amending, and they keep trying to keep sewing this back together.
Okay.
And it's getting ripped to shreds.
So I want to ask a question about that. I'm so glad you brought that up. When the Constitution was first penned, what happened that they had to have amendments later on? That was the question.
Right, because they did not look at this, the country would come to the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they wouldn't put slavery in the Constitution. And what the part for them is saying that they were looking at us becoming free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So really, they just, it's another way to keep you in it. That's why they put the 13th Amendment says what it says, neither slavery nor indentured
right.
servitude. That's how they
right.
keep it still existing.
That's right. Just like when you tore your britches, you had to mend them because
mm-hmm.
something was wrong. So you had
yeah,
to try to
they,
fix it. Right
they quick. Tore their butt trying to keep us in something
Thank
that
you.
Wasn't supposed to be. Because there was a case that came before the Supreme Court. It's called the Antelope case. And they were abolitionists
mm-hmm.
were arguing about the captives in the North. And they were arguing the point and saying that slavery is against the law of God. But the Supreme Court says slavery is against the law of God, but not against the law of man. Man went against the natural
mm-hmm.
law.
And that's the truth.
And this is what they've done in continuously creating the words to keep them. That's all law is. It's just it's a whole thing of words. And what they're doing is master and slave.
Exactly.
Yeah. We have another caller. I'm going to bring them in. Area code 618. Area code 618. If you have yourself on mute, take yourself off mute. Okay, you had
Hello?
Your hand up. Hello?
Yeah, I may have caused some confusion to the call. Another call came in, and I had to click over. Forgive me.
Oh, that's okay. Hello, Mayor.
All right. There is some, I believe in serendipity. And what is very interesting is my daughter is,
yes.
She actually came in on the call, and she called me to tell me that she had just written a piece that she's trying to home, a poem. And
yes.
Before we close, I'd like to ask permission if I could read the poem to us.
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay. She's sending me the newer version of it now. And so I'll let you know when I get it and then ask.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, thank you.
Oh, she has already sent it to me. So,
okay.
Anytime that I can read it, let me know.
Yes, yeah, go ahead. You can read it.
Okay, and her name is Ayanna Gonzalez, and she's the granddaughter, well, the great-great-granddaughter, and then the great-granddaughter, and then the granddaughter, and then the daughter of revolutionary folk before her. This reads, "My blood boils at the thought of you. My skin burns justice, and I bleed revenge. How many centuries will pass before freedom is avenged? Peace has become a mockery, and justice has seen plague. Victory has inched in many forms, but slapped with limitations and continuous struggle for the greater sorrow. You tease us with belief while we fight each other to be the new norm. Apprehended and forced new, socialism has wedded feud. Practical stances take heed while dreams become weeds. Since when did it become okay to bleed unnaturally? While we lick our wounds, you continue to thrust your wicked, poisoned, rusted-edged knife into our flesh. And the wounded
Ooh.
Look at each other like we don't mess. Many of color once stood tall, and now stupidity has nearly affected us all. Elders have become tired or muted, and the youth are now secluded to your standards. Do you hear me? Come a little closer. Kill yourself, you institutionalized bastards. I said, Give her a hand, y'all.
Wow.
Ooh. Wow, that was powerful.
I like it.
Wow.
And she had no clue what this call was about.
Wow.
All right. Thank you,
Shaye.
Yes. Wow.
Did you all know that Obama was coming here?
No, he is. And
yes,
is he coming there to help, or to try to help, or is he coming there to help to stand for y'all?
Is he coming back?
This is all I know. Jackson is one of the three states to host Barack Obama's Change.
Yes.
I have no idea what the Change Collective is, but I just saw this on one of these news break internet news things. Now I can open
it. Yeah, it would be good if y'all could get with him and, you know, have him intervene in this. Hopefully they would let him.
To the what?
That he would intervene in this becoming a law.
Yeah, I don't even know what the Change Collective is. I don't know who's inviting him here. Well, it actually is three states that he's touring, I guess, to do this Change Collective, whatever this is. I mean, I'm just not hearing of this, so I have no idea who's behind it or anything.
Yeah, been talking
about
last week.
You think that was last
week?
What did you say in the first?
I thought you said that was last week. Did you say something about last week?
I said that came out a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's old news then.
Well, no, it's still new news. It's just it's been out for a minute.
Okay.
I thought you had said you couldn't remember when you'd seen it, and I was just saying that it's been out for a couple of weeks.
Okay, so yeah. But has he been here already, though? I didn't know what the date was going to be that he was going to be here.
Ask me if I care.
Gotcha.
Now, y'all are going to have another elected judge in county. And that's going to be in 2027. Now, is that for the good or for the bad that they're adding? Don't y'all already have a judge there?
You mean the what? I mean, I don't know what. Well, we got several. You mean county?
Yeah, well, they're
saying
they're adding another judge. They're adding another judge there.
Federal judge?
I don't know. It's just another judge.
Right, I'm familiar with that place. I also am familiar with people coming together to talk about what this is going to look like and what we need to do about it on our end or some suggestions about that. And I have not been privy to those conversations as of yet. As soon as I find out, I will let folk know what is being talked about on the ground here.
Yeah, so I know when y'all were having the vote, when the vote was going on, that the leaders there from the NAACP, CP, and the Black Caucus and different organizations that were there, and they were not able to deter this from being passed. I know that.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
No, I'm asking, you said they were not able to deter this fifth judge coming into being?
Yes, well, that's good. But they weren't able to stop HB 1020.
No, I'm asking you, is that what you are saying, that they were not, even with even in discussion and trying to, and not liking the idea, they were not doing they were not able to do anything to block it from happening?
Is yes, that what that's what
saying?
I'm saying. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so are they still fighting? Are they still fighting with y'all? Or did they just give up? Hopefully they did just give up.
I'm not clear on that, and I have not been privy to that conversation. Mm-hmm. I'll have to ask and get back to us and let us know. I was hoping Rekia was going to be able to be on the and she, I'm sure, would be able to answer that question, but I'll find out and let us know.
Yeah. I guess hopefully we'll. Go ahead. Someone was trying to say something. Okay.
What did you
I guess they?
Did you say
go
you
ahead.
Hope they will?
I hope that they're still working with y'all to deter this. I mean, a lot of them, don't they live right there in that area or in Jackson itself?
If I'm remembering correctly, the area that was housing that particular individual was outside of Jackson, but I may be incorrect.
Well, still, it affects the whole. Well, it affects just Jackson, but it's still going to affect the state.
So I'll get
and
more
then,
information
of course,
and get it out. I'll get it out to us.
Yes, thank you. Now, you want us to call our senators, and hopefully, you know, that's already in the works, so that this bill hopefully does not pass, that the Senate will not pass it. Because not only will they be taking over that, they're also taking over that federal money that has been granted to y'all for the water. And I think that's what they really want is control over that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's left from what they granted originally.
Pardon me, you didn't come in clear.
You said, and they may be able to get part of the monies about that were given for
well,
the
all of it. Yeah, all of it. They'll be in control over it.
Yeah.
Which I think would be a tragedy. I mean, because if that's an all-black area, I mean, I don't think not too many white folks is really going to care, you know, what happens to the people in that area.
In fact, we'd be happy if the things that we would be most unhappy about did occur, because we would be out of
the
area.
Yes. Now, has it caused any illnesses or deaths or anything?
What, the water?
Yes.
Yes, it is. I don't know about death, but it certainly has caused a number of illnesses.
Yes, it has.
And could I ask a question, too? And
I
had to switch over and get another call, but in the part that I'm, and the concern is the children being affected by having to bathe and having to, you know, not overstand the water and what it will do to them. The thing is that can cause damage, like they're now finding children that was in Flint that now has brain damage from the water.
Yes.
I get the impression that the level of intensity, dangerous intensity of the water is not where it was at one point. I come from a weird background. I haven't drunk tap water in years. I do bathe in it, but I don't drink it. And I don't. If I cook with it, I make sure I boil it deeply before I even let anything touch it. But I have to find out about that. I'm not certain that what I'm attempting to say is that the water situation is not as bad as it was at one point, and it's getting better. I do also understand what you're saying about people not heeding it or paying attention to what would be necessary, especially as far as the children are concerned. So that brings into play a need for us to make sure that citizens are educated, not from the propaganda, but from the actual scientific understanding of what is happening, so that they know, in layman's terms, how to protect their families and especially their young ones.
Right, but and that's an excellent point, because you look at all the fast food places has ice machines. That
yeah.
ice machine is connected to the water line. It's frozen
yeah.
contaminated water.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. Yes, the bacteria.
Right. And so has the EPA found out where did the contamination come from?
I don't have that. If you know, text me and let me know. I don't have that information in front of me right now, but that's a question I'll put down to look and see. But I'm sure they have had sort of.
In July of 2020, I want to say 22, I don't know why it's a blur right now, but it was found that so many thousands of gallons of feces, sewage.
Any gallons of what?
Of sewage has spilled into the water. You remember that, Ia?
Yeah.
Has spilled into the main water source.
Yeah.
And after that, well, prior to that, there were boil water notices off and on because of breaks here and there, the small time stuff, same thing that happens everywhere, water break here, water break there. Okay, so
right.
In July, all of a sudden, after that last boil water notice, had lifted, so many gallons of sewage, raw sewage, had emptied into the Pearl River. And that's the main water source for Jackson. Okay.
Right.
Now.
Right.
After that, I'm just telling you how I remember it. After
okay.
that happened, they did there was a flood. There was a flash flood. And it further contaminated everything. Well, the thing was, when they did not lift it anymore, but they just said, I mean, they did not let the boil water notice, they didn't get rid of it. What they did was told everybody to buy water. They brought water in, bottled water, and all of this. Then they started the emergency thing. The feds stepped in with the state of emergency for the water thing, right? Well, they said that they were going to build a brand new system. They did not approve of it. They didn't. They said they didn't have the money for it or whatever it was. But they went back and took the boil water notice off. After all of this raw sewage had came into the city, into the source, they went back and took the boil water notice off. So now you can use the water. It's still full of feces.
Right.
They have not brought a brand new plant. They hadn't built a brand new plant yet. They don't have a new water source. Don't have anything. But they had the nerve to say that the water was okay. You don't have to boil it. I just sit back and watch all of this. People were using the water again. The governor said that the state of emergency was over because they have a solution. They're going to build a new, no, they're going to take over the system. That's when they started talking about taking over the water, this water company, the whole system in Jackson. And that, I think that's where the arguments, within the, between the governor and the city was going on.
Okay,
but,
I have two questions. Well, one is statement.
Yes.
Two. Are you on? I suggest that y'all keep receipts for the water that y'all buy because of the contaminations and everything that's in the water.
And also, are y'all sowing the plant? Are y'all sowing the plant that is giving y'all this bad water? Because I would take a lawsuit out on, I would sue the plant for damages.
We would have to sue the city itself, because the city itself is the plant. It's not another company that runs the water plant.
Well, I would take a lawsuit out against them.
But it is, because I'm looking at, is there a company there called Marshall Ramsey?
Sure. Oh, no. Marshall Ramsey is he's a journalist. He's a journalist and a cartoonist.
Okay. And that's what they're showing. But what they were showing is that they got a 10-year plan that they're looking at for, you know, Mississippi in itself. Because what they have to do is build a new treatment plant, because the Pearl River overran its banks. And that's what they were talking about, flooding. And this is what thing, and then the treatments plant that controls the sewage that you're talking about that went into the water system is what happened. And so the treatment plant is that state run treatment plant, or is it a private owned plant that somebody else? And see, these are
I never knew of it being a private corporation. I always knew that it was the city. It was the city and the state that ran the water work.
If I can come in for just a second, my daughter just texted me some information. She said that contamination from ice machines at local places comes from improper cleaning of the machinery. All household waters are contaminated to a degree because of the old piping. Other contaminations happen because of the main facility's lack to keep up with flow. There are many variables to consider with contamination, i.e. water lines fusing with sewage lines, carcasses, still water sourcing, et cetera. The city is third party for sourcing. The lawsuit will still fall on the companies that control the water.
Your daughter is welcome to call in. If you would like, you could give her the number and she can call in.
She's in. I don't know why she's...
Okay. If you press 1, I'll be happy to open your line. Okay, there she is. 773? Okay. Is that your daughter's area code? Okay. Okay, hello.
Hi.
How
hello.
Are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
That's why I haven't been active on the call, because I'm needing to take breaks, but I am listening, and I'm texting her at stoplights. But I am a part of the conversation.
Yes, I know that your mother was, you know, reading your text, and I just thought maybe you thought that you had to come in by invitation, or, you know, some people don't know, so I just wanted to make sure that you knew.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And what
you're welcome. Well,
I lived here for a number of years and actually was a part of an organization that we had helped start, and she ran, she started and ran a kitchen out of that organization.
Oh,
so she's
okay.
Been of
well, that's good. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us?
No, I'm just engaging in conversation through text.
Yes.
But
and your poem was beautiful. Your poem was it was very powerful. It was very, very powerful.
Thank you.
So much. Yeah, I was listening to the network in the background, and as I was writing it, that's what was playing in my head. Do y'all remember the network?
the network?
A video of the network. I'm not
Yes, the movie.
Yeah.
With Sandra Bullock. Yes.
Oh yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Serendipity. Oh, yeah. Serendipity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I appreciate you all for letting me join.
Oh, well, I thank you for being with us.
Yeah.
Yes.
The city of Jackson, J.H. Fuel Intake, is that the water treatment or the water assessment company there in Jackson?
I don't know. Say, do you know?
Fuel?
Yeah, Fuel.
F-U-E-L-L, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm just looking at, you know, who are the corporations that run these specific. And when you start following the breadcrumbs, you find out that these people or these companies are connected with some of the upper office people or the money families there in Mississippi or corporations that they invest in.
Right, and they're probably related to the folks in Detroit. I'm just saying.
So, I mean, all of this is going to take some, what you all are doing with boots on the ground and asking the right questions, because even if you get the answers wrong, you still have to get these questions out there, because what is it that's making them so uncomfortable in what's happening with it being run predominantly by us, that is making them feel that they're losing out on something with this money's being able to put in? Because that whole system that they're running, how long has it been since they replaced the pipes and the lines and even the treatment plant? Because they know that these things are going to happen, that these rivers are flooding and these things happen. Where was the infrastructure money? Where has it been used at? That's what has to happen. What happened with the infrastructure money?
And that's a good question.
Right, and I would probably venture to say that has probably been researched, and that information is there, that we just don't have access to it. And, again, I'm sorry, Ricky is not on at this point. But that's an excellent question, and I will check with them and find out what's going on in that along that line.
So the first part of your question about how long or when was the last time the system was replaced, is that what your question was?
Right, and how long? Because you're saying you were born there, and if they put them pipes in before you were born, and they still use them pipes.
Let me tell you.
You see what I'm saying?
Let me tell you. When Chokwe Lumumba the Elder was the mayor, I heard that the whole infrastructure of the water system was 90 years old.
Right. That's what
I'd make it almost 100.
Right.
Yeah, and if I may add, this is Shea. That the issue with the water right now is a continuous problem and hasn't been something that's been the responsibility. It's been the responsibility of all people who have taken office, but it's been something that has been going on for a very, very long time, very long time. And it's just now at the microscope over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I'm sharing, because there's monies that's always allocated for the infrastructure, you know, the roads, the sewage, the water lines, the traffic lights, the bridges, and all of that is a budget that the state has, the state has money that's allocated for those specific places, where did they use that money instead of taking them 90-year-old pipes out and start changing the pipelines and changing that structure of the treatment plant?
Right.
Because if they were 90-year-old pipes that's running in the city, that treatment plant probably has pipes the same age, and that's the danger of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to look at, if you're looking at 90 years ago, there was a certain population there that could handle that type of water flowing. Now I look at, in 90 years, how many people have grown into that city? And now what they're looking at is, what is the major population of this city for their concern? Let them get that. We can move out here and run our own new pipelines and dig our own wells and build our million-dollar mansions and houses.
Okay, come on.
And move away
Let's
from
do it.
Yeah, and I think that, of course, it being Mississippi and the South in general, that a lot of that has been overlooked, and it's just now become under a finer microscope on everything that is happening. In order for us to go back to find out where it went wrong, there's a lot of research that needs to be done as far as it goes to the relationships of the people that have been hired, people that worked for the cities, that held in offices, the relationships in between them. I mean, there's a lot of research that takes into factor, and I think right now the focus on is correcting the problem overall. And once that is done, then there'll be an opportunity to go back and find out what happened.
Right, and these are the questions that has to be asked. And these are the parts which you just shared, is because take Atlanta. Okay, I live outside of Atlanta. I live south of down by Millersville. But Atlanta in itself is regentrification. And what they're doing is taking up all of those old lines and putting in new lines, because the generation that's moving in there don't look like us. It looks more like them. So they're changing the structure of the piping and system that will be able to give them what the next generation to live in that area is going to need.
Agreed.
Woo.
It's not hundreds of millions of dollars. It's probably to correct what they should have been doing all along. And we know that the pipes and everything with this water structure is a problem that's all across the country. So every state probably needs to, you know, upgrade their systems, and they're not. And we end up with problems like this.
But what we're looking at, and that's an excellent part, because what we're looking at when we say gentrification, that generation that was before that established those areas in which we were, like, you know, West End and certain areas where we were populated and had the homes and things, that they're now moving in and restructuring it, because when the time of the civil rights and we had fair housing and we started moving, what did they do? They ran out of it, the cities, and ran to the burbs and built their structures and put themselves away from it. But now they're, with everything coming and being costly more for gas, because they developed these hour drives to the suburbs so they wouldn't have to live with us. And now they in turn want to come back, the next generation. Those grandmothers and those children that went off to school and come back, they want to live a city life. They don't want to be out there in the rural areas. And so what you're doing is you're seeing, that's why they call it gentrification. It's the next generation. We baby boomers, the generation X, are now the parents of the ones that's out here, the young people that's out here now for that next generation.
Yes, well, you know, also, they may know that they have to replace these pipes in the black areas
and they're going to get new piping. So they want to live there where the new pipes are and bring the black folks back out to the suburbs where the pipes are, you know, they know that, and soon that these pipes are going to go bad if they're not already, but they know that they're going to be replacing them. And, you know, in the city. So that could be another reason why they want to be there.
Right. But what I can give you another, that example. Okay, and I came in Georgia in 93. When Newt Gingrich was with Secretary of State, Cobb County got more government grants and loans from the government than any county in the United States. Because they refunded all of that to regentrify all of the people that were coming out of Atlanta into Cobb County. That's why they moved the stadium over there. They built arenas over there. And now it's the mega, you know, it's a satellite Atlanta. And this is how they work their money, because they moved all of the people. They tore down all of the projects with 96 for the Olympics. So all of those people out of the projects and those homes to build all of that was supposed to be going to be turned over to them when the Olympics was over, they gave it to Georgia Tech.
Hmm. Wow.
Put all those people on Section 8 and put them out in Douglas County. They put them all up in Paulding County. They put them on the outskirts in these homes that they were moving out of and moving back to the city.
Well, what are the residents doing now? What kind of support are we working with?
In which area are you speaking? Referring to?
Well, as far as, you know, with this bill and the whole, what is the support system like? You know, are the residents supporting y'all? Are they working with you, or is everyone just laid back and just, you know, whatever will be?
The people's assemblies in particular have been very powerful, and they've been packed. People have come and to see, hear what's happening, and also to be of assistance in providing information and letting folks know what's happening with them in their own personal neighborhood. They're there to show support as well. So it's I think that the assemblies, above all, have been very instrumental in getting the word out and also to heighten the understanding and the need for us to come together as a unit to respond to what is happening to us and to take further control.
Okay, good. That's good. That's very good. The more people that, you know, are going to stand, you know, especially in your area, that is going to stand against this, the better, you know. And then, you know, with people on the outside of Mississippi helping also, you know, to strengthen it, to help to strengthen it, then, you know, hopefully we can get this bill to where it doesn't pass to become a
right.
law, because it's definitely not a good thing.
Right. And I think that people are really, and I don't want to insinuate that they were asleep, but I think that people are really, okay, I would say awakening to a higher level of understanding and responsibility and coming to realize that we're not just puppets in someone else's hands. We actually have the power to be able to pull together
yeah.
to affect change.
Yes.
And to take more control over what is beneficial and what, and put that in place and put what is not, that's more destructional to us, and take that out the way, kick it out the way.
Yes. And also, let people see that it's not numbers, that this is people. This is actually people. It's not just
right.
a number system.
Right. And we all know that 10 people who are actually doing the work can be more powerful than 1,000 voices that have been heard but do nothing.
Yes. Yes, well, if anybody has a question or a comment that you'd like to bring to the, our ladies, if you press 1, I will be happy to open up your lines, because if not, we can, the ladies go, because it is getting late.
Is it? Wow.
It's 10:47. Is there anything that y'all would like to add?
No, it's just a pleasure for me to be here. I'm so geeked that we still exist in the world. I've been missing this for a long time. And I'm not saying that it's not happening here in Jackson, but for it, on this level.
We have some background noise. Excuse me. We have some background noise. Can you mute your line if you're not talking? You know, y'all mute yourself. So thank you. It's gone now. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just saying I appreciate it, to actually be doing as opposed to talking about it. I'm really loving it.
Yes. I'm, you know, we're happy to assist you, you know, in any way that we can.
Right. Not where I'm, because I'm not just talking about us together in this grouping. I'm talking about people in general. I like the on the ground folks, the Malcolm X grassroots movement, the Republic of New Africa, the provisional government, all of the and the things, and what's happening with the current mayor and his administration and the things that he's attempting to do. So that he is doing, and so I'm appreciative of all of that. Now is the time. Now is the time. And again, having come from the background that I have come from, I am just so excited and so rejuvenated, re-energized to see that the work that I witnessed being done back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s is not for naught, that there were seeds that were planted and work that had begun that is now beginning to go toward the next step. And we know we shall overcome, to use that phrase from that area, because we know that we have learned from our, we are learning to communicate with each other, and we're learning to how to benefit with those resources that are around us and those resources that do not have us our best interests in mind, and that we as a group in number can come together and turn this crap around. Ashe, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your daughter's name, the ones on the line.
Huh?
I was asking Ia, is her daughter still on the line?
Yes, I'm still on the line.
Okay, and this question is for you. We're all elders, basically, us here, and you're the next generation. How do we help your generation to not to go down and do this struggle that you're seeing and having help? I mean, having us, watching us do the things that we're doing to fight this system. It's like your mom was saying, you know, she's been in the struggle, and the other elder and myself and Sister Antoinette is a voice that's given us a space for our voices to be heard. But how do we help you to write that new poem for the next generation?
So I would say is how you could help us, or the prior generations can help us by, one, not giving up, and not letting the feeling of being tired take over. Two, to continue to provide foundational support on what a village looks like and what community means.
Okay.
Three, understanding that change is inevitable, not completely venturing off of the past, and knowing that all change isn't good, but change to a degree, meaning the actions of youth today they come from what the system has put in place and was successful with. And to understand that we as a collective want the same thing internally, even though it doesn't appear to be so. And just being that continuous love and strength that you've been thus far.
Okay. I like number two because it's what we call Mbonge, and that's Dr. Fukia. I talked about a Congolese, but he taught us that we have to have a body of elders that can sit and watch and give, if asked, the advice as to how what you're doing or you're getting ready to do, and be able to help guide you, like you said, the foundation and the part of the village. We always say it takes a village to raise a child, but do we ask the question, what does it take to make a village? It takes elders, it takes young people, it takes warriors, it takes healers, it takes all of that to raise that child.
Ooh, wonderful. I hope somebody wrote that down. That needs to be a new saying. Thank you, Baba.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, ladies, you have any closing statements? Again, I'll give you all a chance. If you have a question or a comment, if you press the number one, I can open up your mind. If not, we're going to let the ladies go. And what would you like to give closing argument? And also, let me ask you this. Do you have a way, if anyone would like to donate to help y'all, do you have any place where donations can be taken at?
We do, but I don't have access to that information right now. I'll get it to you in the next day or so.
Okay, thank you.
And my closing words are free the land by any means necessary.
And my closing words are reclaim the land, because I feel like the land has already been freed. We just need to go in and get it.
Yes.
My closing words would be, you are the one you've been waiting for.
I say.
Yes. Well, mine is that we have to continue the fight, because we don't want this to spread there. We don't want it to pass, and we definitely don't want it to spread across the country. So we all have to fight this together.
I say.
It's you and Baba.
Yes. Well, I'd like to thank y'all for being with us, and you're welcome to come back at any time. Just let me know, we will continue this.
It.
You know, especially, you know, to give us an update, to keep us updated on what's going on. And everyone, please remember to contact your senators. You know, tell them to encourage that this bill does not get passed.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, and
thank you, everyone.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone, for joining us. Don't forget Drive Bones on Sunday for the Helios Filios and Brother Ray at 3 p.m. Sunday, no matter where you are in the world, when it's 3 p.m. Eastern time, that we're drumming to, you know, back these evil demons off of us so
beautiful.
That, you know, it's time to start praying that what they're trying to put on us, that it goes back to them.
Would you please explain it for Shaye and Lefert and anybody else who has not heard it like you explained it to me so people know that this is not online, but this is something that we're going to be doing in our home?
Individually, yes. You're drumming at your own home at, you know, your own time. Well, not your own time, but it's 3 p.m. Eastern time. No matter where you are, when it's 3 p.m. Eastern time, we're all drumming so that this goes up. It goes up before God that, you know, this drum call. And it's being done all over the world. It's in several countries in Africa where they're drumming. And, Lord, Brother Ray has so many different countries. I think Argentina's one, and oh Lord, forgive me, I don't remember them all. Brother Kwame, do you remember them all, or Brother Eddie?
Well, he has it to where he.
Okay, wait a minute. We do have a caller. I'm sorry. Oh boy, Lord, she had it. Forgive me, Sister Paris.
It's all good. Greetings, family. I'm just grateful to have been able to listen in, and I am so grateful for you, sisters, coming. You have some tall people, ancestors, working on your behalf, and I know you know this. And one of the elders there in Jackson, Mississippi. Jackson is a special place as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yes,
I have people who come from there or close to there. But I'm wondering, are you familiar with the Mississippi Mass Choir and the elder? Oh, you are. Okay.
Yes,
do you know Elder Mosey?
Yes, I do. I know just about everybody in that choir.
How is she doing?
Last I heard that she was doing well, although she was sickly. But I heard that she was doing well.
Well, please get with Sister Antoinette, because I'd like to share some things that maybe you can relay to that elder. She has helped me through a whole lot of dark, dark days in this journey. And it would mean a whole lot to me if you were able to let her know this personally. And I appreciate you all being on the line today, like I said, or this evening. Jackson, metaphysically, is a very important piece on the chessboard.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And
thank
that's to the whole world, sister. That's for the whole world, in fact.
Yes.
We are very important to the whole world and perhaps the universe.
Yes, you are. Yes.
And
yes,
very
ma'am.
Much so, yeah.
Yes, and this is Mama A.Z. Paris saying this, and thank you so much for being on the planet and knowing that this was your assignment when you came back this time around, and I'm grateful for you. It's inspirational
you.
To me. Thank us.
Thank you. You're inspirational, sister. Thank you.
Thank
yes,
us.
Thank,
ma'am.
Thank us. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Night, ladies. Night-night. Good night, Sister Paris. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, and thank you for being with us and for sharing your journey. And, you know, as I said, we're with you. We are with you. So with that, I'd like to thank everyone for being with us. And we
I'm
shall
sorry,
see you
please
again.
Please excuse me.
Yes.
Did the sister hang up yet? I just want to make sure I'll be able to get back in touch with her because I'm sending a text now for Mother Mosey Burris, the person that
I'm still here, and
oh,
thank you, Brother
okay.
Kwame, for your knowledges that you share. I tell you, brother, it's a blessing that your mom allowed you to come here to share with everybody, Brother Kwame, like you do. I'm grateful to know you. Thank us.
Yeah. And
I'm here. And if you want my number, get it from Sister Antoinette, please.
Okay.
Yes,
well, she has my number.
Yes,
you can send it to me, to my number, Sister Antoinette.
Okay, I would do that.
601-331-8106.
No. Don't say your number. Don't say your number. You're on the air. Don't do that. Anybody can go back and listen to these archives, and your number will be out there. Don't do that.
Well, it's already out there on the Internet anyway, so.
Yeah, but... I'll get it.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, y'all. Well, have a good night, and
thank you
for being with me.
And you also.
Okay.
Thank you all for letting me join in.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's truly my pleasure. Okay.
Lost touch with my soul. I had nowhere to turn. I had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream. Thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength. And I crashed down and I tumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. I didn't know my own strength. Survived my darkest hour. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up, hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own. In my heart, I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Found all that I need here inside of me. Oh, I thought I'd never find my way. I thought I'd never live that way. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down.
but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. Oh, I didn't know my own strength. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up. I hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. Was not built to break. No, no. I got to know.